Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a powerful message and how true that is. There's only one plan of salvation found in the scriptures, the very words of God. If you're going to base your salvation upon what God says, then you understand there's only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 on Easter Sunday morning, the last book of the Bible. The first chapter here, though, Revelation chapter 1. And these are actually, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Him revealing everything about eternity past, present, and future. And the Bible is what we turn to if you really want to know the truth about eternity past, present, or eternity future. It's found in the very words of God. And so Revelation chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 12, and we're going to read down to verse 18. So if you'll stand with me this morning, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Apostle John is on the island of Patmos, and Jesus, the resurrected Christ, is revealing some things to him on the island of Patmos. It begins here in verse 12, the Bible says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again today, it's been a blessing to be in church, what we received in our Sunday morning Sunday school and understanding the resurrection, the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what we've already received in this worship service with all the music and the congregation, the specials, and Lord, we just thank you for it all. But now, Father, as we open up your precious holy word, this is what you have given to us to stand for truth. And I pray, God, for each one here, you know what kind of spiritual needs they have. And I pray for each one that they would have an ear to hear exactly what you have for them. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled this morning, Resurrected and Holding the Keys. Resurrected and Holding the Keys. As we look here in what Jesus revealed to himself to John, we find verses 12 through 16. If we had more time, we would explain all of this. It's just a powerful description. But it's a description of the resurrected Christ and understanding that he is no ordinary man. Jesus Christ, if he was here with us in our Sunday morning Sunday school, you realize that he was 100% man, but he was 100% God at all times. There was never a time when Jesus Christ was not 100% God. And so we look to that, and we find that now he has been resurrected, and this is what he reveals himself to John to see. And we have this to look to and understand the description of the resurrected Christ as well. In verse 17 and 18, his message to John, first of all, John was a disciple who is following him. That's what a disciple does. A disciple is one that follows the teacher. And if you are saved this morning, and if you want to live the Christian life, then you can receive the very same promise that he given John. Because he's given John this resurrected Savior, is giving the disciple John a message, and the first message that he gives him is, fear not. Amen. Can I tell you what a powerful truth right there? Fear not. Because if you know who Jesus is, and you know that He is your personal Lord and Savior, and if you know that you are following Him, you and God are a majority. His hand of protection is upon you, and there is nothing that you have to fear. No matter what you're facing, Jesus Christ has the solutions to whatever it is that you are facing, and you don't have to fear those circumstances of life. You don't have to fear whatever that is when you have Christ to look to. And so we find here that John was isolated for punishment for preaching the Word of God, and he was placed on this island of Patmos. And as Jesus revealed himself to him, we find the first thing after he reveals himself to him as the resurrected Christ, what he does is says, fear not. You have nothing to fear as long as you're looking to me. And so we find here he says, fear not. And then in verse 18, he says, I'm the same Jesus that you were following before. When he says, I was the one who lived a physical life, who had died for the lost and now resurrected. That's what when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. I am the very same Jesus that you were looking to before, that you saw, but now I have paid your sin debt. I died for the lost, and now I have resurrected, and now you can see me as to who I truly am. He's God. And so he says, I am alive forevermore. But then he says this, and have the keys of hell and of death. Resurrected and holding the keys. The key is a symbol of authority. It gives us control over whatever it is that we have locked. It gives us control over who gets in and who stays out. However secure the locks, the right key opens it. Everyone here, I would imagine, that owns a house, when you've purchased that house or got a mortgage for that house, and they said, this house is yours. One of the first things that they do when they say this house is yours, they give you a set of keys. And now because that house is yours, you have the keys, and the keys are authority of the house, and it symbolizes you get to choose who you let in and, amen, who stays out. If you don't have a key to my door, you can't get in. I have the authority, I have this key proves that I have the authority and the power to keep you out or to let you in. Most teenagers, they're looking to dad, and dad has something that he kind of waves in front of them as leverage. And most of us know what that is as a teenager is, that's the keys to the car. It's my car, I have the authority, I choose who I allow to drive it, and I choose who's not going to drive it. Because I have the keys. And if you want the keys, then you're going to have to do something, whatever that might be. But the idea there is the keys. If you have the keys, you have the authority of whatever it is that has locks on it in order to let in or keep out. Jesus is referring to the keys of the two most important things that is affecting and will affect mankind. The keys of hell and the keys of death. I want you to picture the resurrected Christ. I don't want you to picture the crucified Christ. That was him coming as a sacrificial lamb. That was him coming to pay a sin debt that you owed and could not pay. He paid it for you by becoming man. But now that he is resurrected, he has paid that sin debt, and now he holds and he is a resurrected Christ. You need to see him as being God Almighty, and you need to see him as the only one that has the keys to that which is going to impact your lives like no one, nothing else. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. First of all, the idea of hell. When you find the word hell in our English translation of the Word of God, you're going to find that it actually has three different meanings. And you have to look and you have to understand somewhat the Greek in order to understand this, but there's three different terms that is translated hell in the English Bible. The first hell that you're going to find is called Sheol, or the grave. The grave is wherever the body is placed. That is hell. That is the grave. That is that very same word hell is translated from the word Sheol, which just simply means the grave. There is that word named that is called Gehenna in the Greek, and that Gehenna refers to the eternal lake of fire. It's referring to that judgment, that great white throne judgment, where at the end of time, after the final judgment, all that refuse to receive Christ as their Savior will be cast into this outer darkness, this place where the Bible calls Gehenna, eternal hell. And that's the hell that the Bible, that Jesus said, was prepared for Satan and his angels and for all of those who would reject him. And there... Then there's the other definition of hell, the one that we're looking at right here. And this is a Greek word named Hades. And the definition of Hades is the abode of the devil himself. It's where Satan lives. And the book of Isaiah, the Bible gives us insight into this idea of this hell and tells us who occupies this, who has the keys to hell, who had the keys before Jesus. We find here in Isaiah chapter 14, you also find this in the book of Revelation that is revealed as Satan falling out of heaven, and he was cast out into the earth, and he was given a place to abide. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says this: "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" It's the only place in the Bible that you'll find the name Lucifer, because Lucifer is another name for Satan and that devil, the dragon of hell. But his name is Lucifer. Now, if you're being very careful, because some other translations has taken that name out and put Son of the Morning. That refers to Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that is not the words of God. God is not referring to the Son of the Morning. God is referring to Lucifer. He's referring to that devil. He's referring to that spiritual creation that God created that turned evil and was cast out of heaven. The Bible says his name is Lucifer. He was created as Lucifer, one of the archangels, the Son of the Morning. How art thou cut down? Now, again, we find that this is what he was before he was cast down out of heaven, but his name was Lucifer. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Satan's sin was wanting to be God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to, underline that, hell, to the sides of the pit. Brought down, he's cast out of heaven, and he came to this earth, and now he is no longer that created angel that God would work through, but now he is turned from Lucifer to this creature known as the devil, which is Lucifer, and which is that dragon cast out of heaven. Isaiah reveals to us that hell is Satan's abode. It is the dark, invisible. There's no light in his abode. There's no light in Satan. The dark, invisible, spiritual kingdom of Satan, of demons, and departed human spirits of the lost. The departed human spirits of the lost will occupy this place of hell where Satan has control. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13 about when the great white throne judgment, those that were in hell will give up the dead that were in them, and they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of God at the white, great white throne. Hell then is the ground zero of spiritual warfare. Usually when you're in battle, you gotta determine who the enemy is. And when you determine who the enemy is, and this is something that I believe that the nations are finally describing who the enemy is with ISIS, and they want to find out where they're at, and they find out where is ground zero, where is it all coming from? They no doubt have deemed them to be the enemy. They no doubt have deemed them to be the one that is causing all of this terror. And so they want to find ground zero. Ground zero will be where does it come from? And if we do not destroy them on ground zero, then we will not destroy how they're able to cause fear around the world. And so ground zero is what they're focusing on now so that they might be able to hunt out and find where it's beginning and destroy the very roots of that enemy. Ground zero for humanity, whether we understand it or not, where all other evil comes from, is this place of hell. Ground zero is where it's Satan's abode, and everything that is evil, everything that comes out of that place is nothing but darkness and nothing but evil. There is no goodness there. There is no light there because this is the opposite of God. We know that the three things that we understand mostly about God that are very important for us, for humanity to understand, that God is love. It was because of God's love that he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross. It was because of the love of God that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt, and he went to the depths of hell and he resurrected victorious from the grave. It's because of his love. It's because of his grace. And it's because of his mercy. Those are the things that we need to focus on when it comes to God, is the love of God, especially during this New Testament church age. God is a God of judgment, and judgment is going to come because God is a just God. There is a great white throne judgment, and because God is just, he will hold humanity accountable for their sins. But before that, there is his love, his grace, and his mercy offered to all humanity. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, I want humanity to see me as a loving God who died on Calvary's cross for humanity, who went to the depths of hell and who resurrected for humanity's sake. That's love. That's grace. And that's mercy. Without Jesus and his keys, we have no defense. Because Satan was cast out and he had the keys. He had the keys to this place of hell. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the Bible says he went to the very depths of hell. We'll read it in just a minute. And Satan tried to keep him bound. Because Satan had the keys. He's the one that determined who he let out and who came in. And Jesus took the keys away. And now he is there in the book of Revelation. He's revealing himself to John the Apostle. And he says, fear not, because I'm resurrected. And look what I have. I have the keys to hell and to death. And if you understand that this morning, can I tell you that will give you a peace that passeth all understanding when you know Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, because he and he alone has the keys of this place called hell. Without Jesus and his keys, we have no defense over the enemies that the Bible reveals to the believer. The enemy to Christianity today is the world, the flesh, and the devil. No doubt if you've been in church very long at all, you've heard that, you've understood that, because that's what the Bible teaches us. 1 John chapter 5, I want you to look there. 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith in who? Our faith in Jesus Christ, because he has the keys to hell. Back over and just a couple pages back to your left, John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. If you understand what he's talking about when he talks about the world being the enemy of the believer, it's not the physical world. It's not the mountains. It's not the oceans. It's not that. The Bible says that when he refers to the world, he's referring to the darkness that is in the world. And if you've been in the world very, very deep at all, you find there's a lot of darkness. And the deeper you get involved in the world, the darker it is. And the more it turns away from the idea of love, grace, and mercy. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He's helping us to see here. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. So we find here that ground zero is this place of hell. And this place of hell is what motivates the evil in this world. And if you don't have the keys, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you can't overcome the world. Because that victory is only through Jesus Christ. Amen. The other enemy that we have that is associated with this ground zero place of hell is our own sinful nature. The Bible has much to say about that, but I want you to look at Romans in chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13, it describes it. It helps us to understand this. In Romans in chapter 13 and verse 14. "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If you're not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not looking to him and the keys that he has, then this idea of the enemy within, this idea of the old flesh, the sinful nature that Satan has access to and through. And through that flesh, you'll find that the lust of your eyes will control you. And the lust of your flesh will control you. And the pride of this life will control you. It will, and it will lead you down a dark road. Jesus says, "I've got the keys to what you need to overcome the flesh. I've got the keys to what you need to overcome the world." And he says, "I've got the keys for the last enemy and what we need to overcome the devil himself." Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Follow with me. I'm not going to be long this morning, but this is some powerful truths found in the Word of God in helping us to understand the power of the resurrection. In Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. Ephesians in chapter 6, because we do wrestle with the devil and the demons of hell. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's the keys. The power of his might is his keys. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." If you try to stand against the wiles of the devil, then can I tell you, you will not be able to stand. That spiritual, that wicked spiritual influence of the devil himself will take you and he'll lead you captive. But if you, through the Lord Jesus Christ, deal with it, then you have the keys and you can overcome Amen. Satan himself. Praise the Lord for that. You can overcome him. Jesus, the resurrected, holding the keys of death and hell. First of all, hell. Now let's look at the idea of death. The idea of death. What's he talking about there? Webster's Dictionary of the English Language, 1828 edition. death, a state of being dead. Wow, that was pretty deep, wasn't it? But this is Webster's dictionary. As you know, they give you a little bit more than just one statement. Destitute of life. Even though you might have physical life, you're born destitute of spiritual life. Until you come to that place where you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says we are dead in our sins. Our sins. Because that we have a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, we will sin. And without Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. So it makes more sense when he says destitute of life. But then it says this, Webster's 1828, alienation of the soul from God. That's not a Bible. That's the Webster's definition. The Webster's English definition of death. Alienation of the soul from God. Can I tell you there was no death before Adam's sin? When God created humanity, he created man in his own likeness after his own image. He created male and female. He created them to reproduce, but he created them with an eternal soul. He created them with an eternal spirit because they were created in the likeness and after the image of God. But he created them with a free will. And he said, he gave them instructions, and he said, if you do this, the one thing that you cannot partake of, the one thing that you cannot do, if you do this, the very moment that you do this, thou shalt surely die. When Adam took of that forbidden fruit and he did that which was opposite God's command, he sinned against God. And when he sinned against God, there was two things that happened, both relating to death. He died spiritually in his fellowship with God. Sin separates us from a walk with God. It separates our soul from God. That's why we need to be born again. You see, you're born of the flesh one time. And when you're born of the Spirit, you're born of the Spirit one time. But if you're born of the flesh and you've never been born of the Spirit, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you have not received the help of Jesus Christ and the keys that he holds to death and hell. But when you receive him, then he gives you this everlasting life. He gives you through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his death, he gives you access to God the Father. He gives you a born-again experience which allows you to come back into the very presence of God spiritually. The other thing that happened to Adam, he started aging and he would eventually die a physical death. And that death has passed upon all men. In the beginning, mankind lived much longer. But as the sin became worse on this planet Earth and the things that sin produces, man's life became shorter and shorter. But the reality of the wages of that sin is the same. Separation spiritually, and one day, separation from the body and the soul, and there's going to be a physical death. Wow. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. We're coming right to the end of it. This, the keys. Christ has the keys to this place of hell, which is all spiritual activity. It's the abode of the devil. If you're going to overcome the demons of hell, if you're going to overcome the spiritual battles of this life, you have to look to Jesus Christ. He holds the keys to the spiritual warfare of this life. And if you're ever going to see heaven, you have to look to Jesus Christ because he holds the keys to that separation from God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this. Helps you to know where our sin nature came from. What I've just mentioned to you, he says, wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Look down to verse 14. I'm sorry, look down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came, the free gift that God gives upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So we find here, because of Jesus Christ and what he did in paying our sin debt, and now he can offer that forgiveness of sins to whoever looks to him. Why? Because he is the only one who has the keys of death. One last passage of scripture is in Hebrews in chapter 2, and let me just read it to you. Hebrews in chapter 2. Verse 14 says this: For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part. He became man. Became part of the same. That through death he might destroy. That's what he did. Through his crucifixion, he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. He had the power to take all mankind to hell. He had the power to keep them locked in the place of hell. But the Bible says that he, Jesus Christ, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. No longer today do we have to be in bondage. No longer today do we have to fear death. No longer today do we have to fear hell. And the reason that we do not have to fear death and we do not have to fear hell is because if we look to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ is standing there and he has the keys. The keys we need. The keys we need to unlock a spiritual relationship with Almighty God once again. The key that allows us access 24/7 to the presence of God. And the keys that allow us into an eternity in a place of heaven. Without that key, you're not going to get to heaven. Without that key, you'll stay in the devil's hell. But with the key, you can be reconciled to God today. You can have the power to overcome whatever spiritual warfare that you might be facing today. And once your life is over here, there's another key that says, welcome to heaven. I'll unlock the door. Come on in. Jesus Christ, resurrected and holding the keys. Will you look to him today? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. As we study the eternal word of God today, I trust this is a lot to get into one message, but I trust it was something that would help you to see. You need Jesus Christ. And this resurrection Sunday, it's proof positive that it's true. For some 2,000 years, we have been assembling ourselves together on the first day of the week to worship and to look to a resurrected Savior. John saw a resurrected Savior, and in his hands were the keys that we need, the keys that you need, but you have to look to Christ to get them. Let me ask you the most important question I could ask you right now. If your eyes were to close in death right now, and they will one day, are you 100% sure that heaven is going to be your home? If you've not looked to Jesus Christ and received that gift of life through his precious blood, you will not enter into heaven. No matter what anyone else says, according to the word of God, you cannot get in without the key that Jesus Christ holds. There's no other way. If you've never put your faith and trust in him, admitted that you are lost in need of a Savior, and called upon him to be your Savior, you do not have that entrance. Today you can have that entrance. Today you can come to this altar and you can let somebody take a Bible and show you not what this church says, but what this Bible says, so that you can put your faith in the very words of God and you can get this assurance. Christian, have you been running from it? You know you're saved, but you've not been winning those spiritual battles. The only way you win spiritual battles that come from ground zero, and that's a place of hell, Satan's abode, is through Jesus Christ and walking with him. If you're not walking with him, don't expect to overcome and to win those spiritual battles. Today, maybe you need to come back to him. This morning, come to this altar. Rededicate a life. Rededicate your focus back to Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this picture that you give us in the book of Revelation concerning the resurrected Savior holding the keys. And I pray, God, today that this message might penetrate the hearts and the minds of all that are here, and there will be decisions made right now that will change lives and directions in lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.